So, Brother Tony, where you were leading us on?
Don't run as fast as I used to. So, yeah, in verse 8 and 9, we had the thought of the carcass of the lion. And Samson sees the swarm of bees and the honey. He takes it, he eats, and then he gives to his parents to eat. And they are ignorant of where it came from. What kind of lessons, spiritual lessons, do we have here that's really connected to this first principle in Judges 6 that relates to the things that are legitimate, natural, that I would abstain from? This now also is a dead body that has brought about defilement as well.
The honey came from a dead animal that would make it an unclean thing. And in chapter 13, the angel of the Lord says to Manoah's wife, don't eat any unclean thing. So Samson was causing his parents to fall. But you can't really blame the parents because they didn't know where it was coming from. But he, I'm just trying to bring out the fact that when we sin, it can cause others to fall.
Besides the fact that Samson brought honey from a dead lion, the lion itself is an unclean animal. From Leviticus 11:27, it says, and whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the even. So, before that, besides the cost of his Nazarite vow, when he killed the lion, just touching it makes him unclean anyway.
Excellent point.
What's really, I think you see the what effect sin can have on someone, and I think that's seen by the fact that he doesn't bother telling his parents where it came from. He knows it's wrong, and it's obvious it's wrong. I mean, Samson, as a Nazarite, would be aware of not being allowed to touch dead bodies. Does it anyway? At being an Israelite, he would be aware of the unclean animals. He goes near it anyway. But that's what sin does. Sin, I believe, at this point has essentially made him numb to what's right or what's wrong. He doesn't care anymore. He doesn't care that he's having this negative effect on his parents. He doesn't care that he has essentially destroyed his personal testimony because he's playing around with unbelievers. And he doesn't care that his own Nazariteship has been corrupted, has been completely defiled. But that's what sin does to us. It starts off with a step like we had, and now Samson is morally, in some ways I would say, bankrupt, because he would take this defiling thing home to his parents and feed them from it.
We see also a personal lesson. We were talking yesterday about the music and the lyrics that we don't pay attention to, but then all of a sudden they start sticking onto us, and we start speaking like different worldly artists would speak. And then we saw that, and now we see this sin building on Samson, and he just keeps ignoring his sins, just keep adding, but he doesn't pay attention to them anymore. It doesn't matter to him anymore, as I said. And we gotta be careful in our personal lives not to get used to sin, not to start accepting smaller sins that then we will start accepting bigger sins.
And I was thinking of the fact too that his parents, you know, they had saddled the camel, as Brother Emil likes to remind us. They went with Samson. Emil says he's the most quoted man here besides the scriptures. But here it was that Samson's influence, you know, over his parents, they are with him in the land of the Philistines. They were with him by the vineyard. But it was Samson that the enemy wanted to destroy because he was the deliverer. But their compromise also allows them to be defiled in a subtle way. Because their son, the inability to stand on the principles that they knew had been communicated to them by the angel, by God, what this child was to do, allows them to be in a compromising position. They too are at risk. You see, this is what happens. We've been talking about influence and influencing young people. Very often we think, well, I do this, I say this, I make copies of my music, or we talk about whatever it is that we know is not healthy for us as believers. And we think that it only impacts me. But you see, with Samson and his parents, they were impacted, and they had no idea where the honey came from. In fact, they probably, if they themselves were in a right spiritual condition, knowing that they were in the land of the Philistines, should have said to him, where did you get that from, son? But they took it. And I think the honey, which again reminds us along this first principle, it reminds of that which is natural. Here's the bees, it's the energy of the bees. Samson takes that. And in the energy of the honey, it says that his father went down, verse 10, to the woman. And there Samson made a feast, etc. So you see, God is not looking for us to do anything in the energy of the natural man, the old man. It is under condemnation. It is under death. You and I, as Nazarites, living up to the spiritual meaning, we are to be energized, influenced by the Spirit of God. And when we are in Timnath, amongst the vineyards, the enemy comes. Okay, that's one way. God raised up a standard, defeats him. But then there's the honey from the very thing that God laid waste. And we say, you know what? That's sweet. You know? Oh, this is good. And he's taking it all. And then he says, you know what? Mom and Dad's going to love this too. So we need to be reminded that any associations with the world, any desire to really get joy from what is down here, is going to end up minimizing, having an impact upon true Nazariteship. That's why Isaiah 53 says of the Lord, he was a root out of a dry ground. He didn't draw any sustenance from this world. He wasn't here to go to all of the celebrations that went on with family members and those in the community. He had a purpose. And as Nazarites, we have to have a purpose. That is to be examples, to be influenced and led by the Spirit of God, and most certainly, young people, not to derive our pleasures from the things that the world puts out and says, these are pleasurable. Sure, there are some general basic things you may enjoy, because we don't want to move into an area of legality. But I think we all understand what we're talking about when we cross these lines where the world says, wow, this is how you have fun. And that's what got Samson in trouble, and it defiled also his parents.
I think we could see this, in fact, as a little microcosm. This is the whole story right here. Everything that happens to Samson could be summed up right here. Because, as we said yesterday, honey, it's a good thing. But it comes from a bad source in this case. The source is defiled, it's unclean, it's dead. And all through the story we see Samson, and he's not looking to the Lord, he's looking to his own strength. Often the Lord helps him when he is doing good things, and he's trying to do good things. He's trying to get the honey out of the unclean beast. He's trying to do God's work in his own strength. And he ends up destroying everything. He destroys his own testimony. I mean, he ends up being regarded as a loose cannon in Israel. They turn him over to the Philistines. And it's just awful what you do, because he never looked to God. He always looked to his own strength and what he could get out of the situation. He turns the story around, boasts of it to the Philistines. I got honey out of a dead beast.
It's amazing.